Then, one by one, the fixed-mount weapons of the enemy, by dint of what Herculean efforts can only be surmised, were brought to bear upon the bold invader. Brighter and brighter flamed her prodigiously powerful defensive screens. Number one faded out, crushed flat by the hellish energies of Boscone's projectors. Number two flared into even more spectacular pyrotechnics, until soon even its tremendous resources of power became inadequate, blotchily in discrete areas. Clinging to existence with all the might of its Madonian generators and transmitters, it, too, began to fail. "Better we flit, Hen, while we're all in one piece. Right now," Kinnison advised the pilot then. "And I don't mean loaf, either. Let's see you burn a hole in the ether." Henderson's fingers swept over his board, depressing to maximum and locking down key after key. From her jets flared blast after blast of energies whose intensity paled the brilliance of the madly warring screens, and to Boscone's observers the immense patrol raider vanished from all ken. At that drive, the Dauntless's incomprehensible maximum, there was little danger of pursuit, for, as well as being the biggest and most powerfully armed, she was also the fastest thing in space. Out in open intergalactic space, safe, discipline went by the board as though on signal, and all hands joined in a release of pent-up emotion. Kinnison threw off his armor, and, seizing the scandalized and highly outraged Cardinge, he spun him around in dizzying though effortless circles. "Didn't lose a man! Not a man!" he yelled exuberantly. He plucked the now idle Henderson from his board and wrestled with him, only to drift lightly away ahead of a tremendous slap aimed at his back by Van Buskirk. Inertialessness takes most of the edge off of roughhousing, but the performance did relieve the tension, and soon the ebullient youths quieted down. The enemy base was located well outside the galaxy. Not, as Kinnison had feared, in the second galaxy, but in a star cluster not too far removed from the first. Hence the flight to Prime Base did not take long. Sir Austin Cardinge was more like a self-satisfied tomcat than ever as he gathered up his records, gave a corps of aides minute instructions regarding the packing of his equipment, and set out, figuratively but very evidently, licking his chops, rehearsing the scene in which he would confound his allegedly learned fellows, especially that insufferable puppy, that upstart Weingard. "And that's that," Kinnison concluded his informal report to Haynes. "They're all washed up, there at least. Before they can rebuild, you can wipe out the whole nest. If there should happen to be one or two more such bases, the boys know now how to handle them. I think I'd better be getting back to my own job, don't you?" "Probably so," Haynes thought for moments, then continued. "Can you use help, or can you work better alone?"